Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Nida Daf Ayin. We're going to pick up with the Mishnah on Samach Tes Amud Beis, which is where the rabbi left off yesterday. For those listening online, this is Elisha Griff covering the Rabbi Leibowitz Daf Yomi here. The rabbi had to hightail it to Tinek to speak there this morning. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. We thank Dr. Landerer for his continued and extraordinary support of the shul and of the Daf Yomi shiur. Today's shiur is also sponsored by Hindi and Mendy Yudin in honor of Yaakov Yudin's Hanachas Tfilin and Lezecha Nishmas, Hindi's grandmother, Rebbetzin Gittel Twersky, Gittel Bas Rav Yaakov Yosef, whose yard site is today. So we wish the Yudin family, the Twersky family, all Meisles Chernobyl, North Woodmere, Mid-Atlantic region as well, Mazel Tov on Hanachas Tfilin, and the learning today should be in Ilui Neshama for Hindi's grandmother, Gittel Bas Rav Yaakov Yosef, and we thank them very, very much for their sponsorship. So again, we're going to pick up with the Mishnah on Samach Tes Amud Beis, and we're heading toward the barreling toward the end of the Masechta. Today we are going to discuss the Tumah of a Zav, Zava, Anida, or Yoledes after Misa. What Tumah those people might have when they die. And of course, the Gemara is going to struggle with, what do you mean, what tumah they have when they die? All dead people have tumah, and they convey tumah. All corpses convey tumah, whether or not they happen to be a zava, nido, yerleda. So what type of additional tumah? It's got to be an additional, a new type of tumah that we're talking about. So we're going to discuss that in the Gemara. The Gemara is going to talk about an Oved Kochavim who dies, whether the Oved Kochavim conveys Tumah or not, and that is then going to be used as a springboard to a very lengthy brisa, which is going to cover all of today's daf, Ayin Amud Aleph, Ayin Amud Beis. It's going to talk about 12 different things that the Anshe Alexandria asked Rabbi Yeshua ben Chinana. And we're going to see three of them had to do with Divrei Halacha, with what the Gemara calls Divrei Chachma, one of which has to do with a topic that is discussed in the Mishnah, and that's why we're going to bring this whole lengthy brisa down over here. Three of them have to do with Divrei Agada. Three of them have to do with Divrei Boros, and we'll see exactly what that means. Pashup Shad is Divrei Boros means Divrei Shtus, that they asked him things that are ridiculous. And three of them have to do with Divrei Derech Eretz. So we'll probably get to all of them except for the Derech Eretz ones today. We have to sort of calibrate how we cover the Daffin because we finished the Masechta, God willing, on Shabbos. There's only a pretty short Amud Aleph, so we'll hopefully get about halfway down Amud Beis today, maybe a little bit more than halfway down. So says the Mishnah as follows: Hazav va'azava va'anida va'yoledes va'metzora shemesu. So if you have all of these people who died, they're all tamei when they're alive, obviously, but now they died. Mitamim b'masa, they're tamei with tumas masa. Ad sheyima kabasar, until their flesh starts to decay, until their flesh starts to decompose. So if you look in Rashi over here, the first Rashi in the Mishnah says, Metamim b'masa, the Gemara parich, so Rashi is going to play spoiler, but we'll read it anyway. So the Gemara, we are going to ask, Kol meis nami metamim b'masa, what's the big chiddush? Any mace is metamim b'maga, and b'masa, and b'oel. So what chiddush is it that the mace is metamim with tumas masa? U'mishanina, and we're going to answer b'evin mesama. We're talking about where there is an immobile, an immovable stone, which is sitting on top of something which is tahar, and the mace is resting on top of that immovable stone. So, Deshar Mesem Lo Metamu, ordinarily speaking, other Mesem would not have the koach to be Metame the Tar Kli, which is placed underneath that immovable stone. But Hacha Metamu Midrabanan. Over here, the Rabbanan were Gozer Tumah. Hol Michayim Metamu Bevin Mesama Midaraisa, Shamre Metamin Moshav Kol Shetachteim. Because when these Tame people, when the Zav, the Zava, the Nida, the Yeledes, the Metzora, where metame mishkav u'moshav, the halacha is that they're metame anything that's underneath, anything that they're resting on, even if what they happen to be resting on is an evan mesama, even if what they happen to be resting on is an immovable stone, because these people mechayim are metame this type of tumas masa midaraisa gazru barabanan lachar misa the first time of the gemara gzera shema yis alpha. So therefore, for these people only, the gemara was was gozer that even la'achar misa, they're metame b'masa if there's an even mesama, if there's an immovable stone. What's the reason for the gzeiras? Again, we'll see this in the Gemara, but Rashi plays spoiler. The reason is because we're afraid that you might have a situation where, let's say, a zav faints on top of the even mesama. And if the zav faints, really he's alive, and therefore he should be metame tumas mishka v'moshav and should be metame anything that's underneath the even, but it's very difficult to distinguish a person who's fainted from a person who's dead. And if we're going to say that if the person is dead, what's underneath Evan Masama's tar, we're also going to assume that when the person faints, what's underneath Evan Masama's tar, but that's not true. What's underneath Evan Masama's tame, that's the reason for the gzera. So explains Rashi. So says the Mishnah, Vayter, Ove Kachavim Shemeis Torah Militame, and Ove Kachavim who dies is going to be tar. And Rashi points out that even though Mechaim, even though when he's alive, he's like a zav for all purposes, that an akum has tumas zav, and even that he's metame with Evan Mesama like a regular zav. However, over here after Misa, he's going to be tar. Why? Rashi says we're not going to be gozer because the whole tumah that he has when he's alive is only a tumah midrabanan, and since when he's alive his tumah is only midrabanan, after his death we're not going to be gozer. By the regular zav, by the Jewish guy, when is tumah? A tumah midaraisa when he's alive. Already we're going to be gozer midrabanan laachar misa, but not by a guy. Beishamay omrim. Now the last machlokas in the Mishnah, which we're not going to get to in the Gemara today. Beishamay omrim kolanosha mesos nidos. Beishamay says that all women, when they die, they have the status of a nida. Ubeisulul omrim a nida elosha mesa nida. No, the fact that a woman dies doesn't make her a nida. If a woman dies when she happens to be a nida, then in addition to being a tummy tumas mes, she's also a tummy tumas nida, legabe the halacha that we opened with in the Mishnah. But if the woman is not a nida, then we are not going to say that she is a nida, that she has tumas nida when she dies. So says the Gemara, and we saw most of this in Rashi already. So my b'masa, what does it mean that if azav, nida, yeledes, a mitzora, if they die, then they're all tummy tumas masa. So my b'masa, ilim b'masa mamish, if you want to say that what it means is pasha tumas masa, so to call mes milo metame b'masa, any mes is metame b'tumas masa, so what's the chiddush? Ela my b'masa be'even mesama. So what we mean by masa is Evan Mesama, this immobile, this immovable stone, where the Torah Kli is underneath the stone and the mace is on top of the immovable stone. So ordinarily by a regular mace, that immovable stone, which is not Mishka V'moshav, is not something that's made to be sit on because you can't move it, you can't drag it in order to sit on it, and that's the definition of a chair, of a seat, is something that you could drag and move to where you want to sit. This immovable stone, you can't move to where you want to sit. So ordinarily, a mace is not going to be metame be'evem mesama. However, over here, the zav who dies is going to be metame be'evem mesama. How do we know that an evem mesama is an immovable stone? Tichsiv, because it says in Pasuk, v'he toyis evem chada, they brought a single stone, v'sum v'sumta alpum guva, and they placed it on the mouth of a pit. So that's how we know that Evan Mesama means a stone that was placed somewhere, and it's immovable. You can't move it any longer. So my time, what's the reason for the old gzeira lachar misa that you're going to be gozer, that the zav who dies is going to be metame tumas Evan Mesama, even though usually a mesa is not metame tuma like this? So marav gzeira shemei yis alpha, because it's a gzeira, maybe the guy's going to faint. And if we know that when he's dead, we're going to say that he's not metame, then when he's alive and fainting on top of the Evan Mesama, we're also going to say he's not metame. But that's not the halacha. The halacha is that when he's alive, he is metame Evan Mesama. And in order, because of that gzera, because of that chashash of mixing up a fainting guy and a dead guy, we're going to be gozer by a dead guy. Satana Mishum Rabbi Eliezer Amru, and now the Gemara concludes this discussion by telling us that Rabbi Eliezer says, Ad Sheyivka Kreso, until when does a Zav impart Tumas Masa Be'evin Mesama? So the Tanakhama said, Ad Sheyima Kabasar, until the Basar starts to decompose. Rabbi Eliezer says, no, we're going to keep the Tumas Masa in effect until a later stage of the decomposition process, not only when the skin starts to decompose, when the skin starts to melt away, but until his abdomen bursts, basically. So, which is a later stage in the state of a mace decomposing. Says the Gemara now Vayter, the two dots. Ovei kachavim shemeis, we're not going to be gozer tuma, we said in the Mishnah. Satanya, Amar Rebbe, Mneima Amar Ovei kachavim shemeis, Tar milatame b'masa. Why'd we say that an Ovei kachavim who dies, we are going to be metarim from being metame tumas masa? Another way of saying he's tahar. So lefish ain't tumasa mechayim midivri Torah, elam midivri sofrim. Again, Rashi in the Mishnah played a spoiler. We already saw this because so long as he was alive, his tumah wasn't on a deraisa level; it was only on a derabanan level, and therefore we're not going to be gozer laachar. We're not going to be gozer laachar misa. Okay, so now we have the brisa that we alluded to earlier. So Tana Rabbanan, Shnei Masar Dvarim, Shalu Anshei Alexandria, Rabbi Yeshua ben Chinana. So the Anshei Alexandria asked Rabbi Yeshua ben Chinana 12 different things. Shlosha Divrei Chachma, three of them were Divrei Chachma. Rashi explains that this means Divrei Halacha. Gimel Divrei Agada, three of them were Agada. Gimel Divrei Boros, three of them were Divrei Boros. So Rashi over here explains that it's Shtus. We'll see later in the Gemara, Boros may mean something a little bit different. And Gimel Divrei Derech Eretz, and three of them were on the topic of Derech Eretz. So Gimel Divrei Chachma, three of them were Divrei Halacha. So the first one is our Mishnah, that's why it's mentioned here. Hazav, Yazav, Avanida, Vayeledes, Vametzor. Okay, until the flesh starts to decompose, that was our Mishnah. Now the second halachic shaila, bas mishulachas ma'i lekoin. A bas mishulachas, what's her status legabe kuna? Who's a bas mishulachas? So we know the halacha is if a person is married and then divorces his wife. Now if his wife hasn't remarried, then he's allowed to take his wife back. Not if he's a Kohen, but if he's a regular Yisrael, he's allowed to take his wife back. What happens if a person's married, he divorces his wife, then the wife gets remarried to somebody else, and that other guy either divorces her or dies? Is he allowed to take his wife back? No, once the wife gets remarried, he's no longer allowed to take his wife back. So let's say, Bas Mishulachas, a guy who took his wife back in remarriage after he divorced her, and then she remarried somebody else in the interim. So he's not allowed to take her back as a wife. He takes her back nevertheless. He's over an Isser. Great. Not great. They have a kid. So is the product of that union, is the product of that union fit to marry a Kohen or not? Says the Gemara, so mi aminan kal v'chomer. Do we say maybe it's a kal v'chomer? Uma almana l'kohen gadol. Madach an almana l'kohen gadol. So a regular kohen is not even allowed to marry a grusha. A kohen gadol is not allowed to marry an almana either. So let's say an almana gets married to a kohen gadol, they violate the iser. She'ein isura shava b'kol, and her iser is not shava b'kol because a kohen, had yet a regular kohen, is allowed to marry an almana. So the iser is not shava to every person, not even every kohen. B'na pagum. Nevertheless, the product of that union is going to be a chalol and a chalala, and unfit for the kahuna. Zu she'i sura shava b'kol, this woman, who the iser is shava b'kol, because by Yisraelim and Kohanim and any Jewish person, they're not allowed to take back their isha grusha who remarried another guy in the interim. So in adin shebna pagum. So this is much worse than the iser of amana l'kohen gadol, because amana l'kohen gadol is usher only to one person in the world. This person is usher to everybody. So of course, even halachas Kamavakama kal v'chomer, the product of this union should be usur to marry a kohen, should have the status of a cholol or a chalala. Say in adin shebna pagum, or dilma, says the Gemara, or maybe the opposite. Mal almana l'kohen gadol, she atzma mischaleles. When an almana marries a kohen gadol, she herself becomes a chalala. In what respect? Rashi says, let's say she goes ahead, violates the yisur. She marries the kohen gadol, then the kohen gadol dies. Is this almana now allowed to marry a kohen hedyot? So ordinarily speaking, an almana is allowed to marry a kohen hedyot, no problem. However, this almana, who went and violated the iser and therefore got married to the kohen gadol, even after the kohen gadol dies, it's going to become usur for her to marry a kohen hedyot. So she herself has the status of a psul kahuna. So again, so says the Gemara, Dilma Mala Manal Kohen Gadol, she atzma mischaleles, she herself becomes a chalala. So maybe, and however, by the machzer grushaso, she herself doesn't become a chalala, and maybe because she herself doesn't become a chalala, maybe her kid isn't psul lekahuna as well. So says the Gemara, Amar Lahan, so Rabbi Shua ben Chinuna said to them, he toeva vein banea toavin. Yep. So basically, what happens is we have a lima that tells us that he toeva, that it's improper what they did. However, the children are not a toeva, and therefore the children are allowed to marry a kohen. So even though the guy did something that was aser because he was machzer grushaso after she got married to somebody else, because she herself doesn't become a halala, and what does it mean that she doesn't become a halala? So what the Mefarshim explain is that let's say she's a bas kohen and she went ahead and did this. Then her husband dies. When she goes back to the house of her father, she's still allowed to eat truma. So we see that she's not considered to be totally pasul lekuna. Therefore, her kid is going to be fit to marry a kohen. That was the second halacha question that the Amshei Alexandria asked Rabbi Yeshua ben Chinuna. Now the third question, which we may recall from Maseches Krisos, because we had a very similar discussion in Maseches Krisos, is as follows. So everybody's favorite topic, it's about the karbonos of a mitzorah, two mitzorahim that get mixed up with one another. So shtei mitzorahim. So you have two mitzorahim who have to bring karbonos. Shenis arvu karbonoseim zebazed. Their karbonos get mixed up with one another. V'karav karbonos shel echad mehem. One of the karbanos of one of the people were brought, umeis echad mehem, and one of them died. Okay, so in other words, you have two mitzorahim, they both have to bring karbanos, they both designate karbanos. One set of karbanos were brought, we don't know who that set belonged to. One of the mitzorahim who had to bring karbanos died. So we don't know. Is the dead guy the guy who didn't have the karbanos brought? Is the dead guy the guy who did have his karbanos brought? If the live guy's karbanos weren't brought, what can he now do? Because we don't know whose karbanos are whom. So says the Gemara, Hasheni Matei Alav. So what's going to be the deal with the second guy? What do we mean, what's the deal with the second guy? So we need to see this Rashi. So the second Rashi on the page says like this, Hasheni Matei Alav, what's going to be with the second guy? Heich Yitar LeKachim. How is he ever going to be Tar to eat Kachim? Shilo Hayim Mitzorah Chavei Rochai. Because if the other guy was alive, Afal Pishin is Arvu Karbanoseim, even though their karbanos got mixed up, Zeyikrav L'Shem Mishu, Zeyikrav L'Shem Mishu. No problem, just bring the karbanos for whoever they belong to, you're bringing them. Oh, in Mesa Echad, or even if one of the Mitzorahim died, Fayeshne Karbanos Befanenu, but both karbanos were in front of us, meaning they hadn't been brought yet, Hayu are karbanos Mesim, you could just let these karbanos go to Misa, and then you could buy new karbanos, v'zeh makriv karban acher, and the one who's alive could bring another karban. Aval achrav eina yachal ha-hakriv ez zeh. However, now the guy who's alive can't bring the karbanos that haven't yet been brought. Shema shel mesu, because maybe these karbanos are shayach to the mitzora who already died. V'havi chata shemesu ba'alea, and it's going to be a chata shemesu ba'alea, and a chata shemesu ba'alea is lemisa holcha. You can't bring it. V'karban acher nami eina yachal havi. You can't say, oh, what's the big deal? Let's just let these karbanos, leave them to die, and then they'll bring other karbanos. Why? Because shema osa shakarav haya shalo. Because it could be the guy already had his kapara. It could be that the karban that was brought already was shayach to the guy who's still alive, so he already had a chatas brought for him. V'niftar, and he was potter from a chatas. V'nimtza maybe chulin lazara. And now if you bring a replacement chatas for the guy, it's going to turn out that you brought chulin into the azara. V'ena yachal ha'asnos b'nedava, and you can't make a fancy tanai and say, if I didn't have a chatas yet, then there should be a chatas. But if I did have a chatas, then this should be a shlomim or something like that. Why? She ain't chatas ba nedava, because he can't bring a chatas for a nedava. Tafilu Rav Shimon d'amar l'kaimon osham karev misafek al tanai, and even the sheet of Rav Shimon, who we're going to see in a couple of minutes, who said that you could bring a korban osham al tanai and say, if I'm really still chayiv in the osham, then this is an osham. And if I'm not chayiv in the osham any longer, then this should be a shlomim. Imu chayiv osham arezu la'osham vim lava reyu shalme nedava, hanimili osham shematan dama dama l'shlomim. That's only similarly by an asham where the matan dam is similar to a shlamim. Aval chata shei matan dam adam lishlamim. However, by a chatas where the matan dam is not similar to that of a shlamim, any achalasas velomar im karva chatasi arei chatazu shalmei nedava. The matan dam aichalavid, because how am I going to do the matan dam if I'm making this tnai? Liavid arba matano sulamala mechuta sikra like a chatas shema shalmei nedava ininu. You can't do that because maybe it's actually a shlamim. Vim shtei matanos ulamata, and if you're going to do two matanos lamata michuta sikra, I can't do that either. Shema chatasu, because maybe it's a chatas. So this guy is stuck. What should he do? You have these two mitzvahim. They brought the carbon of one of them. We don't know whose carbon was brought. One of the mitzvahim died. The second guy is stuck because he has no way of bringing a carbon chatas. He has no way of ever making himself tar in order to eat kachim ever again in his life. So Amar Lam, so Rav Yeshua ben Chinuna said to them, I have a great idea. Kosev nechasav l'acherim, let him write his nechasav t'acherim, let him be mafkir all his nechasim, v'avi ani, and then it'll be an ani, umevi chatas o'of abal asafek. And now that he's an ani, the chatas that the Metzora brings is what's called the carbon olav yored. Whether it's an animal or whether it's a bird depends on how wealthy he is. So long as he's a rich guy, he has to bring an animal. That's when we have a problem. We can't bring the chatas misafek because maybe it's chulun lazari. He can't bring it al tanai for the reason that Rashi just explained to us. But if he's a dal, if he's a poor person, he can bring a bird, and you're allowed to bring a bird, may safek. Why? Because Rashi points out that there is no din of chulin ba'azara if you're going to bring a bird carbon as opposed to an animal carbon. So says Rabbi Shua ben Chinuna, that's a good solution. You're right, he can't bring an animal, but he could bring a bird. The Achronim deal with what type of advice are we giving the guy. Generally in Halacha, we have a concept of al-yivazvez yosar mechomesh, that anybody who's being mevazvez, if you're spending money on a mitzvah, not to be mevazvez more than a fifth of your nechasim. And what are we telling this guy? The advice that we're giving him in order to let him bring a karbon is be mafkir all your nechasim and become an ani, which is much more than chomesh nechasim. So the achronim deal with this issue. Some of the achronim explain, no, al-yivazvez yosar mechomesh isn't an isser, it's advice. So the advice is be prudent with your expenditures and don't waste all your money in one place. Other achronim say no. Hamavazvez al yavazvez is a lashon of iser, and so the achronim say no. What we're talking about here is a matana almanas lahachzer, and that's why they're medayik. That's why the Gemara uses the lashon. Kosev kol nechasav la'acher, not mafkir all your nechasim, because if you're mafkir all your nechasim, it could be that some other guy is going to come and grab them. Kosev kol nechasav la'acher means go to a guy you trust, give him a matana amanas la'achzer, you're going to bring your carbon, your bird carbon misafek, and he's going to be okay. Says the Gemara, is he really going to be okay now that we figured out a way for him to bring the chatas? Va'ika asham. But there's also the carbon asham that he has to bring. And how's he going to bring a carbon asham? We don't know. Maybe his asham was already brought. So Amar Shmuel, Kishakara Vashaba. We're talking about, no, his asham was already brought, and we know that his asham was brought. Therefore, the only carbon that we have to deal with is his carbon chatas. Says the Gemara.
Rashi said the asham he can make is a tonight of the...
We're going to get to that right here. We're going to get to that in a couple of lines. Amar Rav Sheshes, Gavra Rabba Kishmuel Lema Kiyai Milsa. So a great person like Shmuel is going to say something so silly. Come on, who are we going like? Ik Rav Yehuda Damar Asham Kava. So we have a problem here. So if we're going like Rav Yehuda, who says that the Asham is Koveya, the moment in time that's going to determine whether he's an ani or whether he is an ashir. So we said earlier, just to review the concepts that we're going to be introducing in the Gemara, we said earlier that the carbon chatas is what's called a carbon olav yored. If he's rich, he has to bring an animal. If he's poor, he could bring a bird. The question is, rich and poor at what time? He has to bring a bunch of karbanos here. He has to bring the shnei tziparim. He has to bring a karban asham, and he has to bring a karban chatas. So at what moment in time, when he brings which of these karbanos, do we say, oh, we look at his bank statement, and we say, you're a rich guy, or you're a poor guy? So there's a three-way machlokas, as you would predict, in Maseches Krisis, whether, and we'll get to this as well, whether the moment in time that's koveya is the time when you bring the chatas, or the time when you bring the asham, or the time when you bring the shnei tziparim. So if you're going to hold like Rav Yehuda, who says that the moment in time that's koveya, whether you're an ani or an ashir, is when you brought the asham, and we're dealing in the Gemara, we're making a Nukimta in the Gemara that his Asham was already brought. So how could you then be? How could you then give him advice? Be mafker all your nechasim, and now you're going to be an ani, and you're going to be able to bring a bird chatas. Not true, because you already brought your asham at the time when you brought your asham. You were a rich person, and therefore you're locked into the carbon of an asher, not the carbon of an ani. So says this, and says the Gemara, the kiva, the kavah, the asham bashiras, lamatzi maisi chatas bedalas. And once you brought the carbon bashiras, you can't then bring a chatas bedalas, because you were already koveya at the time of the asham to be an ashir, and therefore you can't bring your chatas like a dal. Titznan mitzora shevi carbon ani veheshir, because we have a brisa. If we have a, it was a mishnah rather, if a mitzora brought a carbon ani and then becomes rich, o ashir veheni, or he brought the carbon of a rich person and then he becomes poor, hakol olech achar chatas. Divrei Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon says everything goes after the time when he brings the chatas. Rav Yehuda amar hakol olech achar asham. Here's the sheet of Rav Yehuda who says that everything follows the time when he brings the asham. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov omer kol olech achar tziparim, and Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says no, everything goes after the time that he actually brings the birds. And Rashi over here explains that in the Gemara Krisus we learned that they're all darshaning from the same pasuk. It says asher lo tasig yado b'tara so. And Rav Shimon Savar Taraso Dover Machapro, which is the Chatas. Rav Yehuda Savar Dover Hamachshiro, which is the Asham. Shemimenu Nosan El Bohanos. And Rashi says, because from the blood of the Asham you put on his boy near the Varaglava Yamanis. Okay. And Rav Elazar Savar Dover Agorim Lo Tahara. And what is that? That's the Tziporim. But anyway, the point of the Gemara is, how can you tell me that we're dealing with a case where his Asham was already brought? If we're holding like Rav Yehuda, and his Asham was already brought, and he was already hukva like an usher, so how can you give him advice that he should be mafkar ol nechasim and then bring a carbon bedalas? V'karev Shimon, and if we're holding like Rav Shimon, the Amar Chatas Kava, who says that the Chatas is Kaveya, whether he's an ani or an usher, safagav de lo karav Asham. So this is your question. Even though he didn't bring an Asham, nesi achar da Asham, ino lele Rav Shimon, damar laisi v'listi. Rav Shimon's the one who says that you can bring the carbon Asham al Tanai. So why do we have to be mukim a case where you already brought his asham? Let him now bring his asham al Tanai. He'll say, if I already brought my asham, great, there should be a shlamim. If I still owe my asham, then this is my asham. Titanya, Amar Rav Shimon. Shimon says, Lamachras, the next day, meaning the day that he's chayiv in all his karbanos, maybe asham of alugoimo, he brings the log shemen, umamida b'shar nikanor, and he puts it up by shar nikanor. Shar nikanor is a place where the doorway itself didn't have the kedusha sazara, and therefore the mitzora who's not able to enter the Beis HaMikdash, the Azara would stand there. Umaste alav, and he would say, v'omer, im mitzoru are asham of alugoimo. If I'm really a mitzora, and if I owe this karban, this should be my karban asham. And here's the luk shemen which comes with it. Vim lav, and if I don't owe this karban, asham zeh ye shalmei nedava, then this asham should be a shalmei nedava, it should be a shlamen, v'yoso asham, and that asham ta, and turning over to ayinam abeis, shchitasa betzafon, v'ta matanas bohanas, usmicha, unechasim, utznufa chasa v'shok, v'nechal azikrei kuna, l'yam v'layla. And Rashi explains, it has the chumros of the asham, and the chumros of the shlamim that attach to it. And therefore, all of the various processes and procedures that apply to both an asham and a shlamim have to be followed here. But says the Gemara, v'lohodu lo chachamim l'Rav Shimon, the chachamim did not like this whole kunz of Rav Shimon. Why? M'nesha mevi kachim l'beis hapsol. Because it brings the kachim to the beis hapsol. What does it mean, it brings kachim to the beis hapsol? Because the last halacha that we said here was that, like an asham, this animal, this korban, can only be eaten l'yom v'layla. A shlamim, we know, is shnei yomim v'layla echad. And therefore, because you are shortening the time that the korban is eligible to be eaten, you're increasing the likelihood that there's going to be leftover, and therefore you're going to be maybe kachim lebeis hapsol, because they're not going to be able to finish the karban in time. You're minimizing the window of eating this karban. So anyway, so the kasha of the Gemara again. to follow was, we said, what should the guy do? The guy's stuck. He has to bring his chatas, but he can't bring the chatas al tanai. And he can't bring another chatas because it might be chulun la'azara. And it might be a chatas shemesu baleh. So we said, great idea, let him be mafker as nechasim. He's going to bring a bird chatas, you can bring that all asafek. What about the yasham? We said, he already brought the yasham. Problem, if it's like Rav Yehuda, if he already brought the yasham, then he was already established as an usher. So you can't do the kunz of the Gemara. And if we're holding like Rav Shimon, let him bring al tanai. Why do you have to kvetch out a teretz that he already brought his yasham? Says the Gemara, well, very simple. Because he holds like Rav Shimon that it's not the asham which is koveya, that it's the he holds like Rav Shimon that it's the chatas that's koveya. But he doesn't hold like Rav Shimon that. But he doesn't hold like Rav Shimon that you could do this fancy tonight. So therefore, he's still eligible to be mafker ulas nechasam or be kosev kol nechasav le'achar and render himself in ani. But he can't bring the Yasham al Tanai because we don't hold like Rav Shimon in that respect. Therefore, we have to say that we're talking about a case where we already brought his Yasham. Says the Gemara now Viter. What's that?
I'm trying to explain the Mishnah. It's not the Rav Shimon. He happens to pass him like...
He passed, right. So,
so what? We're trying to find chat the Mishnah. Who's that wanting to do? Okay, Rav Yehuda works, Rav Shimon works. I don't hold like them. Okay, that's my problem.
All right, that's a question. Yeah. Okay, so says the Gemara now. Shlosha Divrei Agada. So we have three Divrei Agada now that they asked Rabbi Yeshua ben Chinina. So Kosev Echad Omer, one pasuk says Kilo Echpots Bemos Hameis, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't wait around for these, not like desirous of the Rishon dying. Because of Echad Omer, Ki Chafetz Hashem La Misam. And the other pasuk says, no, Hashem wants to kill them, wants them to die. Says the Gemara, Kamba Osen Tshuva, Kamba She'en Osen Tshuva. When Rishonim do Tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want them to die. When they do Tshuva, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want them to die. So it basically depends on what type of Russia we're talking about. Kosev Echad Omer, second Divrei Agada. Kosev Echad Omer, Kilo Yisa Panim Lo Yikach Shochad. It says HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not capable of taking, does not take bribes. He's not capable of being bribed. The Kosev Echad Omer, and the other Pasuk says, Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha, that Hashem does find favor, that it is possible to sort of sway Hashem with his favoritism. So says the Gemara, Kan Kodem Gzar Din, Kan La'achar Gzar Din. Kodem Gzar Din, you could try to sway the judgment. La'achar Gzar Din, there's no changing whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, goes there. And the Achronim say, yeah, listen, it's true that you're not able to change the Gzar Din, but you're able to be mamtik the Gzar Din. You're able to sort of sweeten the Gzar Din a little bit, even if the Gzar Din's already been made with tshuva. The Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah also says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes is hofech a Gzar Din if that Gzar Din is a Gzar Din shel tzibur. So if you have a Gzar Din on a Yochid, then after the Gzar Din, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to change it. But if there was a Gzar Din that was Nigzar on the Tzibur, it is possible for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to reverse the Gzar Din even after the Gzar Din is made, if we're dealing with a full Tzibur. The third question of Agada, Kosev Echad Omer Ki Bachra Hashem B'Tzion, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Tzion. The Kosev Echad Omer, and the next pasuk says, Ki Al Api Val Chamosi Hoiso Ha'ir Azos L'mena Yom Asher Banu Oso Ad Hayom Hazeh. It talks about Tzion being a reviled and a hated city. So which is it? Does HaKadosh Baruch Hu long for Tzion? Did HaKadosh Baruch Hu choose Tzion? Or does HaKadosh Baruch Hu expose Tzion to his wrath and his anger? Says the Gemara, Kan Kodem Shenasa Shlomo Es Bas Paro, Kan Lacha Shenasa Shlomo Es Bas Paro. Before Shlomo married Bas Paro, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Tzion. After Shlomo married Bas Paro, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed his anger and his wrath to have an impact on Sion. Shlosha Divrei Boros. There are three Divrei Boros, which Rashi on the Mishnah touched up as Divrei Shtus. The Chasam Sofer explains the Chochmas Betzalel rather explains that why are these called Divrei Boros? Because we'll see that all of these kashas had to do with the status of dead people. Dead people are buried in a bar. So Divrei Boros doesn't mean they were asking him questions of shtus. Divrei Boros means that they were asking him halachas that had to do with mesim who are buried in pits. So the three questions are like this. So shlosha divrei baros. Ishto shalot. The eshes lot. So ma'o shetatame. Does she become tame or not? So Amr Lahem, Mace Metame, Venetsev Melech Metame. No, she's not Metame. Why? Because famous story of the Ishes Lot, when they were fleeing Sdom, she turned around, and Kavrochu said, the Malach said, don't turn around. She turned around, she became an Etsev Melech. So the question was, does she have the status of a Mesa? And they said, no, a dead body is Metame, but she became a Netziv Melech. The Achronim explain, and one of the reasons why this is Divrei Boros is because they were challenging Rabbi Shua ben Chinina with their sort of philosophical beliefs. And they explain that the Anshei Alexandria believed that there's no, the world is static. There's no chiddush in the world. They didn't believe in a God that's being mechadesh, you know, betuva b'chol yom tamid. So they thought, if you have a person, and a person dies, the person is a dead person. And Rabbi Shua ben Chinina says, no, we believe in chiddush. We believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the ability to create new things, yesh ma'ayin. And therefore, when she died and became a Netziv Melach, the Netziv Melach wasn't, it's not a dead body. It was a new entity. So it was a debate between the theological, bent of Rabbi Shua ben Chinina and the philosophical bent of the Anshei Alexandria. Okay, so the next question, Ben Shunamis. The Ben Shunamis, where Elisha did the Tchias HaMesim on the kid. So Ma'o Sheyitame. Zitame Tomas Mace. So Melahem, Mace Matame, Ven Chai Matame. What a silly question. Oh, it's only a mace that's Matame. A Chai, a person who's living, is not Matame. And Elisha did the Tchias HaMesim on the kid, and therefore, of course, he's not Tame. Says the Gemara now, last question, Lasid Lavo. So, will all of the mesim who experience a resurrection in Tchias HaMesim, we know that if somebody is Tamei Tumas Meis, the procedure for making them tar is to take the Efer Para Aduma and to be Maza, the Efer Para, on them on the third and the seventh day. And the question is, all of these mesim are going to experience a Tchias HaMesim, do they require Hazah, Shlishi, Yushvi from the Efer Para Aduma as well in order to be Matar them, or do they not? Or do they not require this Hazah? So Amar Lahem, so he said to them, L'chashayichyu nechem. Okay, when we have a Tchias HaMesim, we'll figure out the answer. So nechem lem, we'll figure out the answer. Tosfos here parenthetically says, how come we're asking the question about Hazah, Shlishi, Yishvi, by the Mesim of Tchias HaMesim? We just asked the question about the Ben Oshunamis, who was dead, and then Elisha resurrected him. So why didn't we ask whether that kid required Hazah, Shlishi, Yishvi? And Tosfos explains, no, it's Poshut over there that he didn't require it. But however, over here by Tchias HaMesim, he says that in Sefer Yecheskel, there's a pasuk that says, V'zarakti aleichem mayim tahorim, and we're mesupak in the Gemara, whether these V'zarakti aleichem, which is mentioned in the Navi Yecheskel, is a reference to Hazah, Shlishi Yishvi, or some other type of metaphorical Hazah. So that's why we asked the question about the Tchias HaMesim people. So says the Gemara, concluding, Ika da Amri, l'chshiyava Moshe Rabbeinu imayim. Not that we'll stump figure it out, but rather, when they come back, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be with them, because everybody's going to experience the Tchias HaMesim, including Moshe Rabbeinu. So you're so worried. What we're going to paskin, we're going to have Rabban Shel Kol Yisrael answering the Shaila, and he'll tell us exactly what to do. The Chassam Sofer is bothered. Why do we say over here that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to answer the question? What do we say throughout Shas? We always say, Teku, Tishbi Yitaretz Kushes Vibos, that it's Eliyahu HaNavi. So, or throughout Shas, we're saying Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come and answer our questions. Over here, all of a sudden, we're saying it's Moshe Rabbeinu. So, and the truth is, the rabbi is always fond of explaining that when we say that Eliyahu HaNavi is going to answer the questions, it doesn't mean binavua, because you can't paskin Shaila's binavua, but it's Betoras, he was also a Talmid Chacham in addition to being a Navi. So he's going to answer all the questions Betoras Chachma. So why throughout Shas do we say Teiku, and over here we say it's Moshe Rabbeinu? So the Chassam Sofer explains, because this is a Shaila that Moshe Rabbeinu was already familiar with, because he had actual experience with this. Why? Because at Matan Torah, Torah, when the Jews were receiving the Torah, that we know that parcha nishmasam, that their neshamas left them for a second when they heard the word from HaKadosh Baruch Hu come from our Sinai. And because parcha nishmasam, they already had a resurrection. So Moshe Rabbeinu already dealt with a shaila. People who parcha nishmasam, then they came back to life to the require azah shi ishlishi ishvi yanat. And therefore, it's the same Shaila, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be well-equipped to paskin the Shaila when he comes back along with everybody else who comes back with Tchias HaMesim. All right, so we'll stop over here. The rabbi is going to pick up with the Shlosha Divrei Derech Eretz Shailas that the Anshei Alexandria asked tomorrow.